Hey guys, it's ChibiD from CheapAssGamer.com and the CatCast Video Game Podcast, and I'm here to bring you an audio review of Poppo and Yo, which comes out this week on the PlayStation Network, and it is for the PS3. Poppo and Yo is a 3D puzzle platformer that takes place in the slums of Brazil, or in sort of a dreamlike interpretation of the slums of Brazil. It's not entirely different from other 3D platform puzzle platformers that you may have played, like Limbo or Braid or things like that. You will be pulling switches, you will be jumping on platforms and solving sort of simple puzzles. I didn't really ever get stuck while playing the game. There are hint boxes throughout the entire game, so if you do get stuck, you can just go into that hint box and find out exactly what you need to do, more or less. I think I used the hint boxes maybe twice throughout the game, but I was never to the point where I had to turn off the game in frustration because I just couldn't figure out what I needed to do, rather. So while there are a lot of similarities with other games in this genre, there's one big difference in this game that really makes all the difference, in my opinion. And that is the underlying theme of the game, which you might not typically, I think you've probably never even seen it before in a video game. This is the theme of an abusive alcoholic father. As the game starts off, your character is a young boy and he's hiding in his closet, clutching a toy in fear because his father is rampaging through the house and he's drunk. And from there, you move into this dreamlike interpretation of the favela slums and go on your puzzle platforming way. Technically speaking, the graphics are good. They get to be a little janky. In fact, technically speaking, the whole game is sort of a little janky in that, you know, the control isn't great. It feels a little off. I mean, it didn't really get frustrating. Like, I didn't have problems landing jumps or anything like that. But, you know, there's some graphical hitches. I had a bug where I fell through the floor, and it was like a game-breaking bug. But luckily, I could just start off at a checkpoint again, and it wasn't really a big deal to me. There were points in the game where you're up against your drunk father's incarnation in the game, which is a monster, a fiery monster. And when he catches you, he throws you up into the air. And there were times where he would just throw me up in the air, I would land, and this would just repeat over and over again. I just was not able to get away because of where I was situated in the game world. But it never got to be super duper frustrating. Like I said, I never rage quit while I was playing. The sound is a high point for sure. The original music is quite moving. But really, the moving is really an important word when describing this game, because what really does set it apart is that theme of the abusive alcoholic father, which makes the game. Mostly when I play a puzzle platformer, I don't really connect with the characters. I have no feeling either way for the character. And, you know, I'm not saying that I have an alcoholic father. I do not. My father does not drink. But I felt for this character that I was controlling, and that kept me going through the game. I wanted to see what was going to happen to him, if he was going to be able to, you know, quote unquote, slay the demon and fix his situation or what. And that emotion that I felt was the entire key for the game for me. Without that, this is really just, you know, it's a sort of standard puzzle platformer with a nice, you know, look to it, nice art style. But like I said, the puzzles are pretty straightforward. They weren't like super special in any way. It's really the emotion that I felt while I was playing the game that pushed me through it. And it reminds me a lot of movies that I like as well. It's the movies where I connect with the characters, where I feel like these characters are real people and I care what happens to them. Those are the movies that I enjoy and that I think about after I finished watching them. And that's how I felt with Papo and Yo. When I finished the game, first thing I wanted to do was talk to somebody about it, which was sort of not possible because I didn't know anybody else who got the game early. So, the other sort of technical or sort of gameplay issue with the game is that once you finish the game, I don't know that there's any replay value to it. You're offered to start a game again, but I don't know why you would necessarily want to do that. I don't know if there's any incentive or changes when you play through it a second time. There's no leaderboards or anything like that. There's no multiplayer, of course. And the game's length is, I would say, between 3 and 4 hours. I didn't have a stopwatch with me, but I think I had about three or four play sessions total. In conclusion, I did enjoy the game. I would say if I had to give it the CAG rating on the CAG review scale, I would say it was a very good game, one step below our outstanding rating. I think that if some of the technical issues were cleared up, where maybe the game looked a little sharper and the control was a little tighter, I would think it could be outstanding. But overall, that emotional connection that I had with the game makes me want to recommend it to everybody. And really, I want to talk to people who've played the game. So there we go. It's, like I said, it's available this week on the PlayStation Network. It's $14.99 or $11.99 if you're PS Plus. And that's it. Hope you enjoyed this audio review. Thank you.